Well, pivoting now to an iconic sound. Cream, Sunshine of Your Love, featuring Eric Clapton, but for the purposes of this next conversation, starring a Gibson guitar. Gibson was founded in 1902 in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Earlier this week, the company declared bankruptcy. Their story might not be over, but we just want to remember what the story is. We've brought in Walter Carter, owner of Carter Vintage Guitars in Nashville, for years the in-house historian at Gibson. He's written several books on the company. And Walter, we just want to hear a little more of your thoughts on Clapton. In 1965, he bought a secondhand Cherry Sunburst 1960 Gibson Les Paul. Some would say with that he changed the sound of the guitar with John Mayall's Blues Breakers. As we listen to him, you know, bend this, your thoughts on what he did with the Gibson?
Well, he gave it an identifiable sound that became known for him as his woman tone, but it was a big fat in-your-face sound that most electric guitar players had not used prior to that.
Yeah. The guitar was stolen when he was with Cream in 66. So if anyone has it, let us know. But the company, Gibson, over 100 years old in the early days, they invented archtop guitars. Just a little more on the first couple decades of Gibson.
Well, they started in the apartment of a fellow named Orville Gibson in Kalamazoo, Michigan, in the 1890s. The earliest documented instrument is 1894. And then the company was formed in 1902 with Orville involved for only a very short time. And this was the middle of a mandolin craze. So their first big instruments were mandolins. And in fact, the name of the company was the Gibson Mandolin Guitar Manufacturing Company. Yeah. As popular taste changed, they started making banjos in the late teens without much success initially. They tried to revive the mandolin market in the 20s and failed, and so began concentrating more on guitars as the guitar became more popular. Through the years, they were often late to the dance with innovative and new styles of guitars, but they were able to catch up. And as we used to say when I was in the newspaper business and we got beat on a story by our rival, our task was to take the story away from the other paper with better coverage. And Gibson essentially did that with electric guitars, with acoustic flat-top guitars, and later with electric solid bodies.
And, of course, the Gibson Company united with guitar god Les Paul. We mentioned the Gibson Les Paul. Here's a little of his The World's Waiting for the Sunrise. Walter, how important was Les Paul and the Les Paul guitar to Gibson?
Well, Les was the most popular guitar player at the time of his association with Gibson. That's why they enlisted him. They were once again behind in this new market that Fender had established for solid body electric guitars. Les was one of the biggest proponents of the solid body, as well as a very popular player. He put them on the map with this new type of guitar. And one of the greatest ironies in the whole music business is that virtually no one ever bought a Les Paul guitar so that they could play like Les. You know, all the quintessential sound of the Les Paul guitar is completely foreign to the sound of Les Paul himself. He was a hot jazz-oriented player, jazz and pop, rather than a blues-based player, which was the base of all the rock and roll that was played on Les Paul guitars.
I just want to touch on a couple other moments in Gibson history. For instance, the Andy Griffith theme played on a 1924 Gibson L5 acoustic archtop. So there was one sound, and then, of course, as we started with the big rock and roll guys, 70s and 80s, who used Gibson's, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses. And Walter Carter, Gibson's also incredible collector items. How crazy is the scene right now as Gibson, the company, is looking at bankruptcy. They'll still be around probably, but what's happening in the collector scene?
Well, there are plenty of Gibsons out there and always have been. As you can tell from the Andy Griffith Show theme, that's still a viable guitar, even though that recording was made 30 or more years after the guitar was made. And I've played that particular guitar. Huh. It's still a viable guitar. And that's the case with most guitars by not only by Gibson, but all of the good guitar makers through the years. There hasn't been much significant in the way of advances in guitar design in the last 50 years. So all of those old guitars are still viable. They're still out there. I don't think Gibson's bankruptcy declaration has really affected the market for new or used Gibsons yet.
We got to let you go, but as we listen to more of the Gibson, what's it like to play one?
Oh, it's like driving a nice car, you know, a high-end car. You don't realize what kind of difference there is if you've been driving a cheap car until you drive something that's good. And it's the same with Gibson and also with the other top-tier guitar makers. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of quality and craftsmanship, and it's hard to discount the legacy and just the feeling that you're playing something that's been a part of American culture for so long.
Yeah. Walter Carter, former in-house historian at Gibson, now owner of Carter Vintage Guitars in Nashville, Tennessee. Walter, thanks so much.
My pleasure.